father is on.
Dear Father, let me pray to you. I got so much to say to you. I was taught not to play with you, so I don't know why I do all the things that I do. First tell my daddy, I said, what it do? Hey dad, we love you and we missing you. Even though you went away at 52, Lord, I know it's better cause he's here with you. Been kinda nervous to take bigger steps, fear the higher heights and the deeper depths. I was cool with the mission that you gave me last, but this new thing, can you pick them first and choose me last? Nevertheless, I'll do what you say. I'll get at it every single night and every day. Let your kingdom come, your will be done. Use my wife, my daughter, and my son.
As you move up, many devils to this, and let every devil throw pebbles to this. Rooted so deep, bring your shovel to this. Think we stopping you wrong already. Promote Christ so he known already. My team deep and too strong already. You too late for we pack up the truck and we all jumping in. Taking my soldiers and leaving my friends. We call the kingdom the business of men. Thanking the Lord for another son. I'm preparing to win like another job. The kingdom come, we ain't never done. New levels to this is another one. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's time to go, it's time to go, it's time to go to another level. It's time to go, it's time to go to another level. It's time to go, it's time to go to another level.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Welcome to another exciting training day. This is a day the Lord has made. I shall rejoice. You shall rejoice and be glad in it because we are one day closer to the rapture. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Giving honor to the Lord God Jehovah. Amen. And Jesus Christ and the blessed Holy Ghost. Amen. My producer, Pastor O, also known as Pastor Gerald Overall, his lovely wife, Sheila. Amen. Runner for Christ Ministries, friends at Word of Faith. Amen. Hallelujah. Great faith. Amen. And all the different saints. Hallelujah. Gospel Christian Center. You know, I just thank God for all the new people. Amen. Even my Jewish brethren. Amen. I really enjoy those. You know, when I meet Jews, It's a stark reminder of God and His Word, and that He that it's like a visual confirmation. Even though I don't really need it, but it's a joy because they an evidence, like a living piece of DNA of the Bible. Amen. I just thank God for me. Even the Arabs that I meet, you know, you got to realize that they have DNA, and they're finding out some of these y'all dark-skinned folk that came over in slavery were actually natural-born descendants of the Jews. Hallelujah, the Jewish heritage. Amen. But you got to act like one to be one. You just, you know, if your daddy was one, that don't make you one. You got to do the rest. Amen. It's like being a Christian. Your daddy could be Christian and you can go, you cannot be Christian. That don't make you Christian because your daddy was one. People tell me that, well, my mom and them was. I'm like, no, see that? The only blood heritage you can get into heaven with is the blood of Jesus. Amen, and I thank God. And guess what? That'll make you a Jew. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Let us go before the throne of grace. Amen. Gracious Father, we thank you and we praise you for another opportunity to come before you. We thank you. Amen. We do not take it lightly. Amen. For this privilege and honor to address you, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Most High God. And we just thank you right now. And we come humbly asking that you would bless us with the intelligence of your wisdom in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. We ask that you bless the eyes of our understanding to be more enlightened, that we will better know what is the hope of your calling, the riches of your glory, the inheritance you have in the saints, and the great and mighty and exceeding power you have made available unto us that submit and obey you. Amen, as we come closer to that time and that period of life. Father God, we ask that you bless us with the knowledge of your will and giving us the strength and the courage to carry it out so we'll be fruitful in every good work approved of by you. Bless us to grow in the knowledge of you. Amen. Father God, we're asking that you bless my tongue to be that of a ready writer, to write upon the hearts of your people. We want it to be all of you and none of me. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Hopefully today I'm going to finish up on this Mosaic aspect of the covenant. Pretty much the summation of it all is that was when God gave details on the moral and standard code for his people. Now, you know, everybody does not belong to God. That's something that needs to be understood. Because at that time, there were millions of people on the planet. Matter of fact, if you remember, they were liberated from Egyptian captivity. But in order to belong to God, you had to submit to God and his lifestyle and his ways. The Egyptians practiced ways and cultures, and matter of fact, they as far as God concerned, they lived in violation of the first commandment, is you shall have no other God. In their case, the pharaohs had decided that they were God, and then they would make images that was just, to me, just, I don't know, if for them to be such a highly intelligent people, to make a creature with a human body and a dog-type head, it's just, I don't even, it's amazing. Satan didn't, I know he just laughed, laying on his side, said, look at them dummies. Look, who would make something that stupid looking? I could see making it human looking, but why would you put an animal head on top of something and call it a god? I just don't get it. But bottom line is, life is about learning to live God's way, because what we do in this life tells God what we will do when we reach that point when death does not have a stronghold on us like it does now. And many people right now, if they could not die or would not die, I don't think they'd be Christian. You know, because there's things you'll do. The one thing about it, and that's what God tries to understand. The motivation for the behavior that he desire in us is love. And that's preference for others' needs. Because, see, this is the thing, once you receive power, it's not just for you. It's for the benefit of others. And this is something we can see in society that is overlooked. Matter of fact, we ended up last week, I believe, on adultery. Well, see, you can't do the same thing. You cannot say you love them. Somebody tell you they love you while committing adultery, they're deceived. They're deceived, and then they'll deceive you. because nobody that really loves you will ever endanger your soul for eternity. Because if you die in the midst of that act, guess where you going? Ain't going to be no, well, you know, we couldn't help ourselves. But see, once you get locked down in hell, you there forever and ever and ever and ever. And I realize that people, you know, it's something to control the human passion. It's a strong energy force. And this is why God is, one, merciful, but he also demands accountability, and he requires that you work at that. And see, in our case, we've been empowered. I can't say the devil made me do it, because he does not have authority over me. He does not have authority over anybody who have received Christ, because Christ is the greater power, the greatest power. Greater, 1 John 4:4 said, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. So I can't give a justification for that before God. One is, and I understand how people get caught up, and we're going to touch a little bit on that today. But see, this is the whole point. Mind you, that in life part two, we won't have sexual desires, I think. I know that marriage won't stand. There won't be, for the saints, there won't be no marriage. Jesus said that in Matthew chapter 22, verse 30. There was a debate or a discussion about a woman who had 7 legal husbands. Okay, they died. She had some, she was working them. Anyway, but they died. And anyway, so they asked Jesus, when the resurrection come, which one of the 7 will be her husband? And Jesus replied and said, in the resurrection, they neither marry or are given in marriage. Okay? So that means that they won't be married. And it also referred, and he started that, he said, they are as the angels. And you can live without sex. Trust me, there's a lot of things, because, you know, you don't know what life's going to deal you. Things could happen to prevent you from having sex. And that's another area that you have to work on, because what if something happened to one of the spouses, you know? What you going to do? Say, well, you know, I have a right to this, so, you know, God understand. No, he won't. You know, he will for a minute, I'm sure. God will contact you like, you know what, you better get a grip on this. You know, I can tell you that from experience, you know. My wife went through some medical issues, and that spoke for itself. So, and it was quite lengthy. But I don't even know if I can compare me to that situation. You know, that time, by the end, we were so wrapped up in each other. You know, I like my wife. You know, that's why when COVID hit, I didn't have no problem being in the house all day, every day with her. I like being around her. I go to the grocery store with her, not because it's my job, because it's not. Well, it is, kind of, sort of. But I really just like being near her. That young men, young women, marry somebody you like being around. Forget if your friends don't like being around them, just tell them, well, it was nice knowing you called me sometime. But marry somebody you like being around. Amen. So we done with that one. I think y'all get it. That's not something that need a whole lot of detail, but it is. It does also, we did cover the aspect that Jesus talked about in Matthew 19, that in the divorce, both parties wind up suffering. Amen. As recently, this weekend, if you're interested, Word of Faith had a marriage conference. It would be dated January, oh, I ain't got my counting up there. I think 13th and the 14th. It's excellent for young people, because back 40 years ago, they didn't have such events, you know. And I'm sure Pastor O has some, and you'd have to contact him on the dates. That's vital information. I mean, because they answered every question, the most popular question that come up every session. Every time we have a marriage question, is oral sex a sin? You know, he just put it like that. He answered it plain and simple, okay? But anyway. But now, so we've covered that aspect. The thing that I don't want to forget that Jesus wanted to point out is the spirits connect. when you marry. And when you, any sex act is a act of marriage. As a matter of fact, that's a great book, Act of Marriage by Tim and Beverly LaHaye. Anyway, so that's a plug. But so now we're going to move on to the next commandment, and that is you shall not steal. Now, you know, that again, you first off, this is something the Lord told me. You cannot steal anything without stealing from God, you know, and it's amazing that before God, I didn't have no problem with stealing from what I thought was rich folk, you know, people that could afford the loss, you know, that I know had insurance. I didn't be in any houses. That we called them thieves, even though, you know, we was robbing the hoods, but. You know, I ain't gonna go through some of the things we did. We did. It's sad that we had such a negative impact on the environment. You know, we lost car dealerships because of us. But it is what it is. It was what it was. We wasn't the only one. That was our justification. If they're gonna do it, we're gonna do it too. You know. But the point of the matter, when God saved me, when He delivered me, He made it simple. He said, if you love somebody, you won't steal from them. And this is the other thing. You know, people like to steal little things from their job. First off, let me tell you something. We're going to look at this guy that stole something named Achan. Now, that was a classic when I read that, you know, how serious God takes that. Because you have to remember in Psalms 24:1, it said, the earth is the Lord, the world, and they that dwell in within. So everything belongs to God. That's why God cannot steal. If He takes something, He actually has the right to it. We have access to it. Well, I know people like to believe they own it. But if you've ever been to a funeral, you find out they don't even take the dirt that made their body. You know, they leave that behind. Okay? It all belongs to God. Okay? So when you're stealing, you are stealing from God. I don't care if it's a box of paper clips. They won't miss them. But now, as a matter of fact, let's go to Joshua chapter 7. And you need to get this. I want you to get this. Because, see, the point is how God views the situation, be it theft. And it doesn't matter, because this is going to be, let's get into this. Now, let me give you a picture right here. In Joshua chapter 6, there was a little town, little nation, little county called AI, excuse me, not artificial intelligence, that's actually what their name was. Anyway, so Joshua sent a band, I think, of about 3,000 men. I mean, mind you, before this, they had took down the walls of Jericho by marching around them. Amen. This is why praise is so powerful. They praised God and took walls down. Remember that. Hallelujah. But anyway, so he figured, hey, man, that's a small group. Send, you know, a couple of companies down there, take them on out. So they went down there and they literally got their butt tore up. They sent them back there to embarrass them. They cut the bottom portion of their clothing off so their butt was out. That's where that term comes from. Their butt is out. But anyway, so Joshua was brokenhearted anyway. And so he went before God, and this is where we're going to pick it up because he want to know why. See, this is the thing. This is let's get into this. I mean, hallelujah. But the children of Israel committed a trespass regarding the accursed things. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing so that the anger of the Lord burned against him. Now, this is what happened. When God, what they were supposed to, prior to that, they were supposed to turn everything in and keep nothing. And then Achan saw some little gold things, and he, you know, hid them in his tent. All right? So anyway, then later on, Joshua, that's what I just told y'all, Joshua had sent them up to Ai, and they went up up there and they got routed, okay? So we're going to skip down to verse 10 in Joshua chapter 7. It says, the Lord said to Joshua, because Joshua, this is what Joshua laying down flat-faced before the Lord. He's like, and I understand, remember, Joshua took over behind Moses. So, you know, he feeling let down because, you know, millions of people are looking at him like, what is this guy? Because people, you know how people is. Pastor could have 10 successes and one little thing just seemed to not work out, and they're like, man, I knew he wasn't nothing. He wouldn't do that. People are murmuring a heartbeat. He said, so the Lord said, get up. Why do you lie thus on your face? Wait a minute. Let me put this in another language, you know. Let me put this in KGV. It says, so the Lord said to Amplified. So the Lord said to Joshua, get up. Why is it that you have fallen on your face? Israel have sinned. They have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them to keep. They have even taken some things that were under the ban, and they have been stolen and denied. So this is what he was talking about. Okay, what's his name? Achan. A-C-H. A-N. So, we're going to go down to verse 16 and pick up from there. It says, so now the investigation began. Now, this is the thing to remember. You cannot, God is omnipresent and omniscient along with omnipotent, okay? You can't go anywhere on the planet, inside or out, outer space, cross the universe, another planet, and be out of the sight and the mind of God. Remember that. So if you live long enough and they start doing intergalactic space travel and Jesus have not come back, and you think you can go on another planet, they say it's a planet out there that's made of diamond. You go out there and somebody own it and you stolen, period. All right. It says, so Joshua got up early in the morning and had Israel come forward by the tribes and the tribe of Judah. Now, at this point, God is offering an opportunity to fess up. See, and the one thing about God, understand this life as an individual, God demands accountability. When you mess up, this is what I learned from reading David in 2 Samuel. Don't make excuses. Just say, Lord, I have sinned, forgive me. That's it. And then ask for instruction on how to overcome it. Don't, you know, 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The cleansing come with washing and regeneration of the word of God, okay? That's what you need. And this is what the issue was. Now, I understand Achan did not have Bible. He didn't go to Running for Christ Bible series training. He didn't have what he needed at that time. You know, they were just getting the law. Okay, they just got the law. And, I mean, you know, you think about when, I don't know how long you've been in this journey, but it takes a while for this to grab hold. There's some things you have to change your culture, your previous culture, you know, from what it was to what it's going to be. Okay, so he had the families of Judah come forward, and the family of Zerahites was chosen. Now, see, God didn't narrow it down. Understand, Joshua would have stepped into Moses' shoes, would basically put him at the prophet level, so he is operating with the Holy Ghost on him. Anyway, and he had the family of the Zerahites come forward by man, and Zabdi was chosen. Remember, we read his family history in the first verse, okay? And he brought his household forward by man. And Achan, the son of Carmi, son of Zabdi, son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, was chosen. He said, then Joshua said to Achan, my son, I implore you to give glory to God, the God of Israel, and give praise to him in recognition of his righteous judgments, and tell me now, what have you done? Do not hide it from me. So Achan answered, Joshua said, in truth, I have sinned against the Lord, the God of Israel. This is what I have done. And when I saw the spoils in Jericho, a beautiful robe from Shinar, southern Babylon, in case y'all want to know what that is, that's in Iraq, and 200 shekels of silver and a bar of gold weighing 50 shekels, and I wanted them and took them. And behold, they are hidden in the ground inside my tent under the, with the silver underneath. So Joshua sent the messengers, and they ran into the tent, and they saw the stolen objects in his tent and the silver underneath, and they took them from the tent and brought them to Joshua and spread them out before the Lord. And Joshua and all of Israel took Achan, his son, the silver, the robe, the bars, and his sons and daughters, and his oxen, and the tent, and everything he had, and brought them up to the valley of Achor. Anyway, and he said, why have you brought this disaster on us? And that's another thing. What you do affects somebody else, okay? It don't just affect you. You are going to have an impact. All right. So then all of Israel stoned them to death. That's not a rock concert. Anyway, then stoned them to death, and afterwards they burned their bodies. Amen. So, you know, he lost his right to live on the planet. And I'll probably see Achan again. You know, I mean, it ain't the point. That, I mean, he stole something. He lost his right to live on Earth. Amen. And they were restored. Israel was restored favor. Amen. But see, the point of this being in the Bible tells us how significant it is. Now, what I want you to understand is there's a lot of stuff going on in a lot of levels in this country, and taught that whatever level it is, God judge at that level. So if it's at the personal level, God will judge you at the personal level. If it's at the national state level, you'll be judged at the state level, federal level. And see, and the government does that. It's sad. But the other aspect about this is why Paul said to pray for those in authority, because they're a bunch of ignoramuses. They do things, make laws, and not assuming that they have conflicted with God. Okay, America, you know, we were, like, just give you an idea. We won World War II hands down. I ain't gonna say hands down, but we won it. It was easy. God gave us what we needed. I saw, when you go back and study that war, God did some great and mighty things in that war to bring the past to victory. I mean, using things like rain and clouds and different things. Amen. Hallelujah. But now, as just as you are seeing now, all the government making all these laws against God and expecting to continue to prosper ain't happening. So when it came around, Vietnam, you will not find a documentation from the Vietnamese government declaring war on the United States. Them people were fighting to maintain their possession, and this government allowed some rich men to talk them into going over there and just taking what they want, rubber for the most part and other raw materials. And they said, this ain't Africa. You're not going to do that. Okay? And as a result, America couldn't win the war. Then they went into Korea. I mean, before that, they had went to Korea. You would have thought they would have done what Joshua did. They would have went before God and said, okay, God, we couldn't take down Korea like we took down Hitler, which was a smaller at the start. But see, when you step out of the favor of God, when you start doing things your way, you're going to suffer. So don't steal, because you're going to open the door for Satan. Satan, if you look at Job chapter 1, you'll find that you have a hedge of protection. And now, in our time, as a Christian, you have the power of the Holy Spirit protecting you. So now when Satan see that hedge drop down, when he see your angels unwilling to raise their sword, he knows that he succeeded and opened the door against you. And all you did, you know, was walk out of the office with some extra pencils. And you put everything at risk, just like Achan lost his whole family, got executed for something minor, you know, that he would have later on have gotten. And a lot of people right now, you know, I see the cost of food and eggs and everything going on. You know, but I'm going to tell you about the blessing of the Lord. My wife and I recently, we went shopping, and for whatever reason, they brought out some hamburger meat, some prime hamburger meat, and I don't know if they intentionally mispriced it or it was a blue light special, but the price had dropped down 80%. My wife got as much as she could. See, this comes from we don't steal the tithe. People, you can debate all you want. This nation is paying up. America owes $31 trillion, and a lot of that because everybody in Washington, D.C. claimed that they are Christian. And then all the Christians, you got denominations, anti-tithe. Well, you know what? Satan love it. And God can't do nothing about it but tell you to do right. If you don't, then you're going to suffer the consequences. I mean, this is what's going on. So it's collection time now. So you want to position yourself to be blessed. Amen. God will do one or two things. Bring the price down or you'll pay up. He'll make somebody spend some money on you, you know. I want to move on here, all right? So bottom line is don't steal. You know, that's a thing that God hates. I mean, because you're saying to God, you can't meet my need. You know, you can't meet my need. But then, and again, if it's not being met, then you have to ask God, what is the problem? He'll tell you. See, the Holy Spirit gives him legal authority to communicate with you. If you're not saved, then you need to get saved. Christ is not Jesus' last name. That's a wrapper that God puts over your spirit that allows God to commune with you. There's a lot to that. Listen to my series on Christ. It's a lot to that. But you got that. It's like a cell phone chip. You know, it's like a radio chip that allows communication between a limited amount of parties. And that's what the Holy Spirit is. It's God's chip inside of us that allows him to communicate and to access. And again, I'm going to tell y'all, I take advantage of that coded prayer life because Satan don't know what's happening, and I can say what I want. God, I can talk from my heart. I can think in my mind, in my heart, and say something not in English, and God can communicate and get it done for me. See, I use every tool God gave for me. People want to debate that, the religiosity of it. Well, listen, it's a benefit for anybody that have received Christ. that's a God's equal opportunity. That's not a super saint. That's just a saint. Anybody that have received it can use their own personal coded language to God. Especially, yeah, you married, you want to pray about your spouse got issues, you know, and you don't want them to hear you talking to God about it because you know they sensitive. So you can talk to God in code. You get it? I'm telling you, that's what mystery is. I mean, anyway, that's another issue. I just thought I'd plug that in there. All right? So we're talking about the covenant that identify God's people. God's people don't steal. Okay? That ain't the same as when Israel went in and took down Jericho because God promised them that because them folk, the Jerichans, that's what I'm going to call them. I forgot their name. But anyway, they had been clowning. They wouldn't repent. So judgment came. And that's what's going to come anyway. All right? And I mean, the Bible is full of stuff. Now, this is the other thing. See, pray about this because what's going on now affects the nation. James, let's read this. James chapter 5. I'm going to call him James, the brother of Jesus. If you don't agree, then don't agree. Don't matter. You know, ain't going to make you no taller, no shorter. It says, James chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. It says, come quickly now, you rich, who lack true faith and hoard and misuse your resources, weep and howl over the miseries, the woes, the judgments that are coming upon you. Your wealth is rotted and is ruined, and your fine clothes have become moth-eaten. Your gold and silver are corroded, and their corrosion will be witness against you and will consume your flesh like fire. You have stored up your treasure in the last days when it will do you no good. Look, the wages that you have fraudulently withheld from the laborers who have mowed your fields are crying out against you for vengeance, and the cries of the harvesters have come to the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth or the Lord of War. That's not Sabbath. There's no two B's in that word. It's Sabaoth. That's the Lord of War. On the earth, you have lived luxuriously and abandoned yourselves in soft living and led a life of wanton pleasure, the lifestyles of the rich and shameless, self-indulgence, self-gratification. You have fattened your hearts in a day of slaughter. You have condemned and have put to death the righteous man, and he offers you no resistance. Anyway, you know, I honestly believe, just like God allowed the revelation of the creation of Bitcoin, which is a currency that the government does not control, and the non-government, because that's what it is, the Federal Reserve, if you don't know, the Federal Reserve is actually not a government. It's not even federal. It's a private bank, and they just labeled it that in deception. All of that came about in 1913. Amen. And it's a video called Freedom to Fascism if you want more details. But see, I knew in 2013 that they would have a period of repentance, which was 7 years, and then look what happened. And it ain't over yet. It ain't over yet. I honestly believe, so you can say you heard it here first. And if it don't happen, I know the rapture coming. I know at some point in time. But bottom line is this. Right now they're meeting today in Davos, Switzerland. And this is January 17, 2023. And in Davos, they're meeting about how to spend, you know, they still have this delusion they can control people. But bottom line is they're stealing. Just like they bought all the farms and killing chickens and they're rioting over there overseas, believe it or not. I know the media don't report it. See, all this is about what? Hoarding. And God knows the very person that they're submitting to that's leading them in this foolishness is going to take everything they have. Because that's how the devil do you. He get you out there and then take what he had you to try to steal. You stealing it, he'll steal it from you, you know. But anyway, and stealing is stealing, all right? So we're going to move on to the next one, all right? Y'all understand stealing. I don't need to get too deep. There's lots on that on the Bible. And get a Kairos Bible if you want it for y'all new people, K-A-I-R-O-S. And you'll get a, you know, it's an easy download, and you can cross-reference a lot easier when you're on the run. Anyway, now the next one is, thou shalt not bear false witness against your neighbor. You know, now, again, that's another area for stealing. And you cannot, remember, you can't break any commandment without breaking the first commandment is you shall have no other God. Okay? No other God. That's you, God. Okay? And you try to justify this. And see, look at what's going on in politics. You know, people take this too lightly. This too lightly. They think nothing of lying. And you know, because you get all these politicians. You know, I read a big portion of the fall of the Roman Empire. And it's amazing that the same conversation that politicians have today with the same lies they told back 2,000 years ago. You know, and then this, when I get elected, I'm going to do this for the people and I'm going to do that. Listen, there ain't but one person you can elect in your life you can count on to do exactly what he said he going to do, and that's God. Okay? So again, this is another creak in the door, another crack in the door that Satan will use to get at you. See, he understands. He's had 6,000 years of psychological training against us, and he'll pit that against you. He will pit that. He will know. You know, he'll have you. You know, people lie on people. It just amazed me. I learned that early on in life, you know. I learned what backstabbing was. I'm like, wow, people really do that. And then the deep part about it is, you know, I'll never forget this person backstabbed me. Now, they was a Christian, okay? And the conviction that came over them. Because, see, this is something that's very critical. And let's go to Matthew chapter 25. Jesus makes a statement that is very critical. It's a principle that you really need to understand. And that's in verse 40. Okay, and for the sake of time, Anyway, so the second time, I'm going to just skip right to verse 40. But anyway, this is where Jesus is discussing the future judgment coming, okay? Coming, and what people experience when they leave here too. It says, and the king answered and shall say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. Okay? And that's something to bear in mind. Because what I do to anybody, and that's a major principle, particularly what he say, Jesus said in Matthew 22, 37, 39, love your neighbor, love. Love. Now that's that agape at work. See, this is the love is the guide is the power to just do the right thing even when your flesh don't want to, when your mind don't want to. Your spirit will do the right thing if you adhere to the standard of God. Because understand this, this goes back to the very foundation of training day. Is that we acknowledge the reality that we're going to be supernatural beings. You have never, I've been to every funeral I've been to before the funeral. When people die, you know, they don't take them down to the, they don't take them out to the airport or to Cape Canaveral and launch them out into space. Angel come, the angel's there to greet them as soon as they unlocked out of their body and they escort them to heaven. You will have that level of power and authority. And in Mark chapter 9, you see Jesus talking with Moses who died and Elijah who never died. See, you got to understand our full person. If we're a spirit with a mind, will, and emotion inside a body, that's what all this is about. And so these challenges in life reveal to us and God what we will do with full power. If I'll steal now, and you take away the threat of death, it's like an addiction. I've seen it. It used to amaze me that people would get out of jail and come back, trying to do the same. It's obvious. And then this is the deep part. When you're around, if you got a Christian family and you trying to be a crook and they praying for you, you don't get busted every time. That was another reality I came to. You're going to get busted. Why? Because God going to honor their prayer. He going to tell on you. He don't have no problem. You can call him a snitch if you want to. It don't matter. So you're going to get busted. They keep coming back. I would tell guy. I remember having this conversation with a guy and telling him, say, look, here you was. Nobody's around. You didn't see nobody. Nobody. You thought no one saw you. But then here the police came straight to you. Okay? And this is another thing. When you see crime being committed on TV, I watch the news specifically for that reason, so that I will pray that the God of justice, that sits high and looks low on the affairs of men, will send angels and the Holy Spirit to help police locate that person, particularly when they commit a murder and nobody knows who did it. And we're seeing, and it is we, because it's not just me that's doing this. Okay, it's some friends on Facebook, some friends at church. We have a big impact on crime. We carry that type of power. See, we pray. The reason I send the angels, because see, angels, God, because you request the angels, God can send the angels to guide the police that don't have the Holy Spirit. Okay, because God is that's the legal aspect of it. But we supply the legal gap. We fill the gap. And then God can send both angels and Holy Spirit to guide the police to investigate so that they'll find evidence to convict the person. That's how they found that guy that killed them four college students so fast, you know, and I got all that evidence. They got a closed case on that. But see, we impacted. But bottom line is, and if any of them people would say, that's another thing. Oh, man, that's another whole conversation. When you talk about the blood crying out, oh, man, this is a living entity we got here. All right? So, but remember this, what you do. So, listen, and the Lord dealt with me too about it. I really have a problem with them guys standing on the corner all the time. So I pray in the Holy Spirit, amen, you know, before you just, because some people you are enabling, some people you are helping. The guy been out there a whole year, he ain't trying. In this country, because they got all kind of programs. They'll help you learn how to read. That'll help you learn how to get a job, fill out the application. They got transportation money, lunch money, daycare services, everything in place. You just have to supply the drive. So be prayerful over that situation, okay? Because Jesus talked about the naked and the poor. There's people that you can help some people and not help some people when you call yourself out. I actually got in trouble with God once helping somebody that I thought I was helping, but they wasn't helping themselves to the degree that he thought they should have been, and that didn't work out well for me. And that be because of that, I am cautious about that. Amen. All right. So, and then we just, I want to go back to don't lie on your neighbor. Period. No matter what the pressure is, don't try to get out of a crime or a situation by lying on somebody. And if you're wrong, if you don't like somebody and they hear something, don't lie on them. Don't lie on them. Because, see, obviously, I would say Satan is going to start to push this issue in the future. And we don't know what's coming. See, but I know it's going to come from psychological pressure. That's all Satan can really use against us. So be prepared. Amen. Now, then we go get to the last one. Okay? So we're doing pretty good here. It said, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his Dodge Ram 2500, nor his Hemi Challenger, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. That's in Exodus 20:17, the modified version. You know, I mean, we don't have, you know, no jackasses and, you know, stuff like that. So I just brought it up to modern times because, again, these are things that covetousness is like concupiscence. That's a word that's in the New Testament. That's a psychological force that Satan will put on people, and it is almost like an addiction. They can't control it. And I have, again, seen the impact of this. It's amazing. And, you know, they try to, and I admire men and them trying to medicate people to deal with these conditions. Kleptomaniaism, you know, people just can't go in the store and not steal, even though it's tagged with a security tag and they're going to get busted going out the door. You know, it's a lot of reasons people do that, but the number one reason is, one, they don't love, they're not walking in love with God, and they don't love their neighbor. That right there is what creates that. And you know, why covet? I grew up with a song that said, don't let the Joneses get you down. The Joneses got a new car today. They said, hooray for the Joneses. You know, I don't know what kind of debt they in. I don't know if they paid cash or faking it to make it. But why should I covet it? I mean, admire it? Yeah, okay. Then your neighbor's wife. Why, you know, you don't know how crazy she is. She might be bipolar, man. It's so many people wind up with, and they thought, when they say the grass might be green on the other side. Well, listen, if somebody had to, if you get that grass, you got to mow it. You got to fertilize it, unless it's that it might be astroturf. It just looks like it's good, okay? But don't get caught up in that, because this is what I really believe. This, see, if you follow the pattern, and God follows pattern, and that's, it's in a book called The Paradigm by Jonathan Cahn. There's another plug. He shows how America and Americans, particularly certain politicians, are walking lockstep in events that happened during Israel's time. All right? Now, based on that, I look at this aspect. Israel was, they were struggle, but, you know, when they really started getting in trouble is, one, they got about, I believe, two generations away from the crossing of the Nile, the Red Sea, and they became the generation that knew not the Lord, much like the one we have now, because I meet a lot of people that, you know, and I ask, tell them, did they know Jesus was coming back? They are totally blank on that. Prosperity. You gotta, I won't have time to explain, but listen, I expect in this country, particularly because it is the largest Christian nation with the largest amount of praying Christians, on the planet, that there's going to be an unleashing of prosperity, particularly it's going to begin with reparations, okay? And the thing about that is that they're not going to pay it because they think it's the right thing to do. They're not going to pay it because God ordered them to. They're going to pay it for the purpose of deception so that the portion that they pay out, which is roughly about $4 trillion, they want to keep the other $96 trillion to do what they want to do because they are the people that's going to hoard it up, and it's going to be stolen from them, as we read in James chapter 5. See, because they know most people can't have. I was at a conference years ago, and they talked about, one guy talked about the fact that they would have that money back in 90 days. But now, look at the pattern that's going down. You got legalized marijuana. Mind you, Satan is behind all this. Okay? So you got legalized marijuana, which diminishes your moral capacity. You know, that's what that does. That's what drunkenness does. The alcohol and that they upping the content, the active ingredient THC, then double in the last year. And you know these folks is going after, they enjoying it. See, because they being, they understand, you cannot lose sight that there are demons and there are trillions of them. Satan got kicked out of heaven with a third of the angels. And they down here, they've been playing this game a long time. So then you throw some money in the mix. Now, they're going to be folks that are going to make the money. They're going to, people with no self-control, they're just going to run straight to the mall. They're going to run straight to the liquor store, the dope store, and they're just going to be party city. And a lot of Christians, Satan going to feed in their mind that's all right. You know, I mean, that ain't going to hurt. See, he know how to play you, and he going to do it because technically, okay, I would say it is a sin. If you talk to a doctor, it would be a sin against your health because it is not healthy for you, and it will kill your brain cells. I guarantee you that. I would be a genius right now if I hadn't killed so many of my own. All right? So that's coming. So you're going to have money and this diminishing moral standard, as you can see this now. With all this going on, the internet brought about a lot of that. So all why that is a distraction so that you will be caught outside of the ark of safety of God when the rapture hit. We are right in the rapture zone. And he going to pour it on. Because, see, Satan can go up through heaven and see what's on the launching pad. See, he'll know. When it's time, he know it's coming close. He hear us. He go to, y'all skip church. He go to church. He listen to everything that's being said, and they know. They take it seriously because they really have this delusion that they'll be able to use that opportunity to gain control of the planet. They will have it 4 or 7 years exactly to the day. 7 years exactly. So you got to really be prepared. And this is what it's going to be because, see, imagine the covetousness that's going to go on with this, okay? This, you know, it's going to be crazy. But, and people going to, again, you're going to see it. You know, you read in Isaiah chapter 1, it, God said, bring me no more vain oblations. And then, you know, and I'd approach God on that. And an oblation is an offering. But the way what that word also is indicating is you're bringing the money, but your heart ain't in it. You're just bringing me some money. God don't want that. If your heart ain't in it, that's like tithing. If your heart ain't in it, God don't want that. You know, you can throw it in the trash. You can give it away. He don't want it. He don't want it unless you love him. Who wants something and don't nobody love them? Well, I know that some people do, but no, I'm not going to, You know? So, but understand where we at. Understand where we at, because again, that's going to be an attack, particularly on the biggest threat to Satan are the Bible readers, the ones who pray any kind of way, frequently, every day, once a week. Those people, every day, once a week, those people are the ones that interrupt his activity. He's coming after them. I mean, he's going to throw stuff at them. You know, and he know he can't hurt you. He know he can't harm you. So he got to try some sweet stuff. You got to be conscious of this, okay? You got to hold on to your covenant power. Don't let go for no reason at all, okay? I'm telling you, this is, and I'm not talking about down years down the road. I'm talking about within the next, before Biden leave office, you're going to see some major changes. You know, I see all these prognosticators on the internet talking about we about to see the worst economic collapse in American history. Well, after the rapture, but not before. Not before. Because, see, Satan knows if he does that before the rapture, what are we going to do? Pray. What happened during COVID? And see, COVID made people, they had to get serious then because all the churches was closed, so they had to go to God. And see, but see, he's not going to play that then. He understand, he's been at this war a long time, man, an old war general. He knows the tricks of the trade, and he is going to use them, I guarantee you. So he's got to diminish the opposition, which is us. I'm up every night. Rarely do I miss a day. If I don't pray at night, believe me, I'm going to hit it in an hour in the morning because I know that sets him back. That's how I get my part of my revenge. Hallelujah. Okay? So you got to hold on to that. Stay with the word. Stay with Jesus. Hold on tight. Amen. Now, and again, get with God and get a plan. I'm going to tell you one plan is you got to start doing some research. Okay, because I'll tell you a good idea if you want long-term wealth is buy some land, build an apartment complex on it near the city or close as you can get to a city, and have you some rental properties, you know. But, you know, don't go near a casino. Casino is just a vacuum. It's gambling means you is a chance on losing, okay? That's all that is, you know. That don't play that. And learn some things. Don't be ignorant about this. I'm telling you. But like I said, don't covet. But again, he'll provoke your spirit. And it's amazing. I've seen it over the years, you know. It's amazing. I've even run into people, you know. This lady telling me she was in love with me. I'm like, no, you ain't. You ain't in love with me. That's lust. That's a desire that you need to put control over. See, again, what is that about? That's to strip you of your power. We see, Satan does not have authority over us. He has to get us to leave our authority. He had to get us to step out of the ark of safety. He can't even do to us what he did to Job, okay? Because we have the Holy Spirit in us. Amen. So it's something. So you are keep apprised of that. So next week we're going to go into the Davidic covenant. I would say the Davidic aspect of the covenant, which really relates again to more to Christ. But amen. It's been a blessing. Like I say, don't be conscious. Be conscious because again, if God is going through all this, because like I said, I was just gonna go and read the Ten Commandments and move on. That was my version of it. And you know, the boss, like with his hand, had that kind of a hands on his hip. And I'm like, okay, how you want me to do this? So apparently, but a lot of people, it's amazing. I tell you what, ask some Christians, what are the Ten Commandments? And you'll find out why God had me go through this step by step. Don't ask nobody for running for Christ. they know. Amen. But hallelujah. But anyway, so maybe this is the first time you heard this. Hopefully it's before the rapture, but if not, amen. This is what you need to do if it's after the rapture, because this is a momentary thing. Any day now. So it's a simple process. Just say this prayer and believe it, and you receive it. You say, Lord God in heaven, I believe that Jesus Christ is your son. I believe you sent him to die for our sin. And I acknowledge and recognize that I was born in sin. And I ask you for forgiveness. And I ask you, Lord Jesus, to come into my heart and to save me now. And I say with my mouth, and I believe in my heart, I am saved, I am born again, and I am forgiven. You know, I love that. Now, again, I recommend that you read Leviticus chapter 4, because that's what they had to do to be restored with God. And that was only temporary until Christ came. Amen. So with that, I'm going to say, just remember this, because listen, prayer is powerful. It really is. You carry the force of God when you pray. So Remember that prayer is God trusting you with his power. Prayer works by faith. Faith works by love. And God is love. Shalom.
Tuesday. Said I woke up to the summer shining through, calling all my friends asking what's the move, feeling a little different, I'm on something new.
Today,
I ain't gonna let no clouds get in my way. The only road I'm walking is the one I picked. Catch me sitting in the sun, no time for shade.
Today,
this is the day that the Lord has made. And I ain't gonna let it slip away. I'm gonna be joyful. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. I'm gonna be joyful.
Today.
I'm gonna be joyful. Ooh, I'm gonna be joyful. I got the feeling that you get when you get new kicks. Bell ringing on the last day of singing, yeah. High fiving everybody, but we out of here.
Today.
So fast, life comes and goes. Make it last, best slow your roll. They don't take it as a choice, but you gotta know that today's the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. And I ain't gonna let it slip away, nah.
I'm gonna be joyful.
I got the joy down in my heart, down in my heart, down in my heart. I got the J-O-Y down in my heart, down in my heart, down in my heart. I got the joy down in my heart.